Now, title of my message this morning, Revelation of God. You can see in that service seat. Why I said revelation of God? Because Jesus came in this world. But Jesus was God. Jesus is God, right? And throughout the scripture, what we see, God revealed himself to us. So first we saw in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything and then God created our first parent. And God was with them in the garden, right? Talking to them, having a fellowship. That was God's first revelation. Second revelation came through Israelite. God spoke with Moses, gave them all the commandments. God chose them and ultimately God revealed himself through the nation Israel. And through that, in that revelation also, God promised that one day he would come. An ultimate and the final revelation God has given to us in Christ. Because Christ is Son of God, the second person of Trinity. So God himself came, took flesh and came and dwell among us. That's why John used in gospel these particular words, he dwell among us. That the word English word dwell came from the tabernacle in Exodus, original Hebrew word. So literally God was among them. Right? And this morning we know God is with us because Holy Spirit lives in us. And also the name Emmanuel means God is with us. But when God gave the revelation, three things which I'm going to share this morning, that first throughout human history we see this very common from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3, that our first parents rejected God. Right? Second thing we are going to look also in Matthew and also in from the Old Testament, reasons for the rejection. And the third thing, basically, if people, nation, they reject God, what would be the result? Rejection, reasons, and result. Now, in the biblical account of Genesis, Adam's rejection of God is traditionally framed as an act of willful disobedience, rather than a philosophical or verbal rejection. Adam rejected God's authority through three primary actions in the garden of Eden. The first, disobeying the one direct command. God commanded Adam, Genesis chapter 2, that the day you will eat this fruit, you shall die. All right? And some English translation use, you will surely die. So there was a very clear, direct commandment to Adam, but he rejected. Third, Eve gave Adam that fruit, and Bible recorded that he ate. It means he put his wife before God. That was the second reason. And the third reason, he failed to submit. Because God is an authority. Sometimes we say God has authority, partly right, but God himself is an authority. And primarily, we reject God in a many different ways. Now, what are the reasons? The first reason, Adam had a desire for autonomy, and he wanted to be God or equal with God. But he forgot when God created them, God created them in his image and likeness. So they were actually one way God. Right? They got everything God gave them. But he still. Second reason, the influence of temptation and also distrust. Now when serpent came and told them the story What happened there? They had a doubt in the goodness of God, suggesting that God was withholding a blessing and God was not really the true. The third reason is, it's called a do-it-yourself mentality. The fall is described as a rejection of God's grace and desire for independence. And one commentator says, it thanks, but no thanks. And I think this is very, very important, because we are going to address this passage in Matthew, but I want to give you complete background. What happened here basically came from Genesis chapter 3. And also one of the reasons Adam rejected, he did not trust God and in his character. The first parents were persuaded to believe that God was withholding something beneficial from them, right? But God has given them and God was with them. And I think the sin of unbelief or distrust is also throughout Bible we see in the life of Israelites and many people. Faith does not mean what you believe and what you experience. The writer of Hebrews is very clear. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It's very clear definition there. That we believe which we do not see. And we hope for that we do not actually yet receive, but we are going to receive. And our faith is the based on Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, founder of our faith, author of our faith. And many times we struggle in our faith because we don't feel that. No, our faith is more objective than subjective. And scripture is very clear. Regardless what we face, regardless what we go through, regardless what we experience, regardless what is happening around us, God is one day going to restore everything. Because 3,500 years back, God promised that I will come. And he did come. So we are part of the New Testament. We should look backward, but we should be looking forward. And many times we look backward, right, or in our own life. But we hardly look what God is doing. And that's why the writer of Hebrews also encouraged in one chapter, he said, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Now, what was the result when Adam rejected God? First, spiritual death. Immediate separation from God's presence. Second, physical mortality. Eventual physical death for Adam and all his descendants. And that's why when you read Genesis chapter 5, right, you see all the generation, 900 years, 700 years, 800 years. But there is one common verse in whole chapter, then he died. So, writer and author, Moses was telling to his reader that this death came because Adam rejected God. And then, cursed ground. The introduction of struggle and hardship in human life. So that was the beginning in the human history from Genesis chapter 3. But then throughout what we see, whole Old Testament, we see that people of God even, right, they were rejecting God, right? And what we read in, don't read for us, from the 1 Samuel chapter 8, right? 1 Samuel chapter 8, right, what we see there, particularly verse only one thing I'm going to read. So Israelite asked that they wanted to have a king, right? That's the story behind this one. First, what happened? When God brought them in the promised land, God gave them the land, and then they went into the sin, right? Distracted, following God, submitting God. God gave them judges, right? And judges saved them temporarily. Then we read in 1 Samuel, God raised prophet Samuel. And Samuel was leading them, providing that spiritual leadership. But then Israelite wanted to have a king like other nations. And that's the story. And what was behind that? From verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. Now listen. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. God's purpose for Israelites and also for us, that we will be God's people and God will be our God. Right, and Revelation, ultimately, God is going to accomplish that. In Exodus, when God brought them out from Egypt, God repeatedly told them that I am your God. You are my people. Right? Basically, God was saying to them, I am the authority, I am the king, I am the master. And you are my people. You need to obey me. And God gave them all the commandments. Right? But what they wanted a king. Now, reason. And not only once in 1 Samuel, but even in Exodus chapter 24, God revealed to them on Mount Sinai, God came down, people saw the presence of God, and Bible recorded 70 elders ate in the presence of the Lord. People saw, right, the presence of the God, on Mount Sinai. But then chapter 32, they made a golden calf. Because they wanted to have something that they can worship. Right? So following their own sinful desire, they rejected God. Second, God did many miracles throughout 40 years in the wilderness. But again and again, again and again, they grumbled. Why? They were not coming under the full submission. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And they wanted to eat what they had. But they forgot their misery. And they forgot that God is going to give us this promised land and full of everything. So, their refusal to enter in Canaan. That's the second. And the third, what we just read, demanding a king. When demanding a human king to be like all the nation, right, God told Samuel, it is not that they have rejected you, but they rejected me. So rejection of God throughout human history. And why they rejected? The rejection of God by the Israelites is a central theme throughout the Bible. They rejected God, number one, because they had desire for conformity. Conformity means we like to be what other peoples are, right? And many times Christians also today trying to compromise. But God was saying to them throughout the whole Bible, and almost in 39 chapters in the Old Testament, be separated, be holy. Holiness does not mean only the moral aspect. The word holy, hagio in Hebrew, basically, be separated, come out. Right? And they didn't want to come out. So a lot of times we also have that conformity. But in Paul also says in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed with the pattern of this world. And that's was the reason. Second, idolatry. What they did, they made a golden calf. Third, lack of knowledge and spiritual blindness. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if you read, Hosea basically revealed this, that they rejected God, one of the reasons, spiritual blindness. And also hardened hearts and pride. Hardened hearts because they didn't want to come under the full submission and continually rejecting God because of the pride. And what was the result? We know the story of Israel, right? Ultimately, they went into captivity. 70 years of captivity. If you get a chance, read non-biblical history of Israel. Really terrible history, I must say. Right? When I did church history at Bible college, we learned a lot of stuff. And we saw how much they suffered. And they're suffering because they rejected God. Right? And God judged them. One way, God partly destroyed them. And we know Solomon built that glorious temple, but that temple was completely destroyed. Right? God's presence was in that temple. When Solomon prayed, Bible recorded, that temple was filled with the glory of God. But because of their rejection, God rejected that place, rejected his people. They went into captivity again and again, again and again. They cried out. God sometimes saved them. But eventually, what we see in New Testament, when God, means Jesus, came, they were under the Roman government. So rejection of God is always fatal, terrible. Now what we see here in Matthew chapter 13 verse 53 to 58, that Jesus came to his own town. And what the Matthew says here, and when Jesus has finished these parables, he went away from there and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished. So Jesus was teaching, right, in the synagogue, in the hometown of Nazareth. And then Matthew recorded here, they asked the question, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon, Simeon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It does not mean that the miracle power of Jesus Christ was dependent on their faith. But what the Matthew is saying, that because of their rejection, Jesus as Messiah, as God, they were failed to receive grace. And in our life also sometimes, right, we receive such kind of consequences. Jesus taught profoundly in the synagogue. So they were familiar about the Jesus teaching, but if you see the whole family structure here, right, and the people there in Nazarene, one of the commentators say they were skeptic. They were not sure who Jesus is, right? How Jesus is basically teaching and how he's doing this miracle. So there was a skepticism, right? And skepticism, right, it's very dangerous because skepticism means we do not really know the person, then we don't believe. And if we don't believe, then we don't have a trust. Why they were rejected Jesus? There are three reasons. First, as I said, skepticism is rooted in Nazarene's familiarity with Jesus' human origins as carpenter's son. Second, question of identity. You might explore how the people of Nazareth questioned Jesus' identity based on their knowledge of his family, their brother and sisters, right? Sisters are with us, we got married, right? We are something in the relationship. How could this man be a Messiah and God? And the third is contempt through familiarity. That's why Jesus' statement about the prophet not being honored in his hometown illustrate the tension between familiarity and faith. The familiarity here breeds a kind of contempt that blinds people to divine truth. Now, what was the background of this Nazarene people? They were Jews. Jewish people believe in one God. Second thing they believe, because God told them that no one can see me in the Old Testament. Right? And even when Moses asked, God said, no. No one can see my face, but I can pass and you can see my back. So God did reveal. God did speak. Right? But their understanding that God can't be in a human form. God can't be a human being. That's impossible. So their mind did not understand the scripture, right? Because God already promised Isaiah 53, many Psalms, right? All the minor and major prophets talking about Christ. Even in Exodus, Moses told them that God will raise among you a prophet and you need to listen. That was the prophecy. So throughout 39 books of the Old Testament, again and again, God was speaking to them, but they have their own understanding and they didn't want to come out. And that's why when God himself came, right, and God means Jesus came to his own town, they were questioning and arguing. How could this human being be a God? And they missed the opportunity. And I say they missed the golden opportunity. Because result, you can see, what was the result? Limitation of miracles. Matthew specifically notes that Jesus refrained from performing many miracles in Nazareth. While Mark chapter 6 verse 5 mentions he healed a few sick people, Matthew emphasized that overall lack of faith among the town people prevented the border outpouring of healing and sign seen in the other region. See? Second thing happened. Following this rejection, Jesus went away from there, signaling a withdrawal from his hometown. This was the last time Matthew portrays Jesus teaching in a synagogue. And again, they did not honor God, did not honor Jesus as God deserved. Right? Jesus was without honor among his own family, own people and family. The townspeople were offended by him, a term derived from the Greek word called stakenosleo, meaning they stumble over his ordinary background rather than accepting his divine authority. Now you can ask me and say, but how this apply to us today? We may think that if Jesus would be with us today, we all believe. But that's not true. How we reject Jesus today? First, prioritizing comfort over following him. Many professing Christians choose a lifestyle of convenience and personal safety rather than following Jesus' call to self-denial and carry his own cross. And my brother and sister, I don't want to discourage, but I want to definitely challenge. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is not something that I believe once upon a time and I know I'm going to heaven because I believe. No. Christianity basically, God give you a grace and you believe, Holy Spirit regenerated you, and then you wholeheartedly follow him and reflect God's character. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, be imitators of God. Jesus said, follow me. Following does not mean that you leave family or job, everything, and go as a missionary. No. But you definitely reflect in your daily life, every day, carrying your own cross and reflecting his character. Second reason why we reject, maintaining control. While calling Jesus Lord, many continue to control their own plans and finances and family decisions rather than surrendering control to God. See, sometimes we make Jesus Lord in some area of our life. There is a place, Jesus, in our life that you sit here. But the rest of life or rest of the area in my life that I want to control. Silence due to fear. Worshipping privately while staying silent about faith in public to avoid sometimes have a fear like a social ridicule or professionals labels as view as a form of denial. Do you believe that when Jesus would come, Jesus would establish his kingdom and government, and we would be all actually reigning and ruling with Jesus? Yes or no? Yes. Then we should practice now. Preferring cultural Jesus. This is something I came across even in India among Indian Christians. Some accept a sanitized or Eurocentric or Asian kind of Jesus, but not really accepting, understanding Jesus as God. And very honestly, I use these three words all the time. We are living in a time where we are confronting with cultural, convenient, and comfortable Christianity. Conditional faith also one part that we reject God. If God doesn't hear our prayer, doesn't heal us, and many people drift away and they left the church. But we need to understand, if God allows something in our life, it is a blessing. Because God is more interested in your character than in your physical healing. I'm not saying God is not interested in your physical healing. God does heal us today. I'm not denying that. And we should be praying. But we should be praying more that God would make us like Jesus. That should be our prayer. Persistence, unrepented sin. That's also very dangerous thing. And sometimes we reject God, not really confessing and then leaving from that sin. Persistent sin. Professing him as Lord while indulging in a sinful habit or lifestyle that directly contradicts with the scripture. And then another thing what I came across in recent time is called creating a modernized Jesus. Ignoring historical or scripture realities of Jesus, such as reading the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, submitting to the Word of God, and then coming under the full authority and also under the sovereignty of the Lord in life. A favor of comfortable, sentimentalized version that fits modern sensibility, modern Christianity, where people want to experience something. Now, what would be the result by chance if I'll be in that one kind of scenario, rejecting God? It's a terrible. Our first parent rejected, and in chapter 3, last part, what happened ultimately? Literally, the word it says, God cast them out from the garden, out from the presence of God. Right? Wandering, restless. Israelite, whole human history, right? You read it and you can see. And AD 70, before Jesus died and then resurrected, Jesus prophesied this. Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. When disciples ask about the beautiful, buildings and everything, and Jesus said, you will not see anything. And in AD 70, Titus, the Roman emperor, destroyed everything. For 2,000 years, there was no Israel nation on the map of the world map. They were wandering almost more than 200 countries. That was the terrible. And for us also, still we are living in a time of grace, we call. Right? That God is gracious. The time where Holy Spirit still working, ministering. But the day Jesus enter in this world, God will take his spirit. And the time of grace finish. There was no option. We can't say that, oh no, I'll wait until Jesus come and then I'll repent. No. Eternal separation from God, that would be the result. And second, facing divine judgment. Now, what should we do? One commentator put this way. First, if you are familiar with Jesus, you must be especially careful to apply his teaching to your own heart and in your life. People of Nazareth were not receptive to Jesus' teaching in part because they were overly familiar with him. Is this not Joseph's son? Familiarity can breed contempt. They had known Jesus when he worked in his father's carpentry shop, but now they could not conceive of him as the promised Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And sometimes what happened? If you grew up in the church, or if you have been in the church for many, many years, it's easy to grow so familiar with spiritual truth that you don't let it affect your own heart. You begin thinking repentance is something that only non-Christians need. I don't need repentance. But I'm a good person, I'm a good Christian. Salvation, the tender mercies of God that I don't need because I'm good. Before you know it, you are right there with this lukewarm. In Revelation chapter 3 and 4, you read what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea. You are lukewarm. You lose the sense of gratitude that ought to flood your soul when you consider God's abundance grace. Do we have that sensitivity that when we come to the church or when we read the word of God, right, that I'm in the presence of God and how much he loves me, what he has done? In our Bible study on Friday night, I was sharing and I encourage people to understand our own wretchedness, right? We need to understand that. how wicked and wretched and vulnerable and what we deserve. And when we understand that, we understand original sin, the effect of that sin and the judgment and the place which God was going to send us, then we understand the grace, what Jesus did on the cross. And then we understand his love. And when we understand his love, that's why Paul says, I may know the depth, the width, the height of his love. We reflect his character. We reflect his love. Second, if you reject Jesus today, you may not get another opportunity to receive him. The people of Nazareth rejected Jesus, so he passed through their midst and went his way. Now, why it was so fatal, even for the people, when Jesus came, means God, literally came down on the earth, and they missed the golden opportunity. Because what happened? Because in his first coming, Jesus came with the good news of salvation for the poor, the captives, the blind, and the downtrodden. But the challenge for us, sometimes we miss this one, like a people from Nazareth. The second time he will come as the righteous judge, bringing God's vengeance on those who refuse his offer of salvation. Rejection is terrible. Whatever reasons I and you have, we cannot justify. I'm going to read a few verses from Daniel chapter 12. We are living in the time what Daniel prophesies. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. At that time, Michael the archangel, who stands guard over your nation, will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret, seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. And today with AI also, and AI, I'm not saying AI is bad. It's a useful tool. But what is happening now, right? The knowledge is flooded. Everything, right, on internet. Right, but what we are missing out, really submitting. Right, we have a lot of knowledge. We interpret Bible. We know everything. But when it comes to the lifestyle, sometimes there is a lack of submission. Lack of submission, basically, rejection. Right? And I would encourage all of you, my brothers and sisters, tonight. Right, it's important that if God is speaking to us and God has spoken to us, we should respond. There was one story that I came across. There was a man jumped from a plane and his parachute did not open. It took him more than a minute to fall 3,000 feet. But thank God he survived. Do you imagine what was in his mind when he went through that 1 minute? Did he cry out to God? Maybe. The heart of the story is, if you have not trusted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you are right where that man was. you are free falling toward eternity. We all actually going towards eternity. You are free falling toward eternity, but you won't fare well when you hit. And Jesus is inviting this morning to all of us. Today is a day of salvation. Today that God is asking us to respond. And my prayer is that may God bless each one of you and help you, if you still haven't accepted Him and submitted, that God would enable you through His Spirit. God is reality. Jesus is real. Salvation is real. And eternity is real. Amen.